Thank you for joining me for today's COVID-19 daily update. I'm pleased to be joined, of course, by Secretary Nate Smith, and today also by Secretary Stacy Hurst of Department of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism. And first, I wanted to tell you that I have signed the executive order for the technical advisory group that has the names of those that will be participating in that. They will meet the first time next Tuesday, and Katie will be delivering to you the names before the news conference is over in a form of a news release, that you'll have those. Secondly, we're heading into a very nice weekend, I hope. And while it's not Memorial Day, I expect people to be at the lake. I expect people to be outside. And I also ask everybody to carefully social distance, to set the right example for others, to protect others as well as yourselves. And so let's just be cautious over this weekend period. And in regard to Lake Hamilton, which did create at least one or two stories from Memorial Weekend, as to just a couple of locations that they were not doing the best job in social distancing. We have talked with the Garland County Sheriff's Department, their office, as well as the Arkansas Game and Fish, and they've developed a plan between themselves to support each other in their patrol and activities to remind people of the importance of social distancing, and particularly if there's any congregations of people that gather together that might endanger the public health. And so that is a plan as we go in to the weekend and to future holidays. Let me go to the cases. Yesterday we had 6,538 cases, and today we add to that another 239 cases. That brings us to 6,777. In terms of hospitalizations, we have an additional 9 hospitalizations. That brings us to 113. And in terms of deaths of Arkansans because of COVID-19, we have an additional 7 deaths. That brings us to 132. I wanted to mention that I've asked Dr. Smith to track this as to connections between the lifting of restrictions and the new cases that we have. And as we do the contact tracing and we inquire about somebody that is positive as to where they've been over the last 14 days, 1% have been to a restaurant, 2% to a beauty shop, less than 1% to church, less than 1.5% to a daycare or gym, less than 0.5% to a motel or a hotel. And so these are encouraging numbers, again, that we're not seeing a connectivity between the business that we're doing, the lifting of restrictions, and the number of new cases that we have. And Dr. Smith might elaborate on that. And then in terms of our testing, yesterday we had 2,702 tests that were done. So another high number that brings our state testing to over 70,000 tests for the month of May. And the test positivity percent is 4.1%. And so even though we had 239 new cases, that's 4.1% positivity, which is still below 5%, which is half of what the national standard is. And then let's go through the graphs. And the first 5 graphs you'll see are fairly similar to what we always do. Then I think it's instructive to look at our state by region. And so that will be new on the last 5 graphs. Here, of course, you can see the trend line by the bar graphs and where we are today, a little bit down from yesterday, but they're still at a high level. The next graph you'll see the 7-day rolling average in the dark orange line, and get used to that because we're going to be showing this rolling average breaking down by region of the state. And you can see where we are right now on that rolling average, which we have our second second peak, if you will. And then the next slide will show the number of active cases, which even though we're down over the last 24 hours, we see the number of active cases has increased in Arkansas. And then the next slide should show the number of hospitalized patients in Arkansas, which simply reflects the growth in the number of cases. Of course, you know, our number is still at about 110, but it is higher than what it was in the first peak. And then the reason I wanted to go down by region and go to the next graph, this is, we're going to show you the 7-day rolling average of new cases in the different public health regions of Arkansas, and there are 5 public health regions. And so this is the Northeast region, which we were in Jonesboro yesterday. And you can see that they reached a peak, and they appear to be for a number of days now going down in the number of cases. And so, and these are, of course, you got to put it in perspective, are at 25. And so 25 cases, and it's going down in the Northeast region. So we like where we are and the direction we're going in the Northeast region. The next slide will be the Northwest region, and that's a different story because we've had multiple days now with a high number of cases in the Northwest region, which reaches close, well, as 120 cases in the Northwest region yesterday, and looks like about 79 today, but you can see the 7-day rolling average is going up. And then if you go to the next region, which is a Southwest region of Arkansas, and here you can see another upward trend, and this is primarily being driven by the cases in Sevier County. And Dr. Smith will cover the county breakdown as to the new cases today and where they are in the different counties, but Sevier is another one of those counties that have had an uptick, an increase in cases, and that's driven the Southwest region. And then the next region is the central region. And if you remember, of course, the central region of Arkansas, including Pulaski County, was what was early on our major challenge in Arkansas. And you can see the peak back about April 11th with the number of new cases approaching 70. And now we're down at a very flat level, lower than that, down. And it's very fairly consistent what we see in the central region. And then the final region, unless I've miscounted, yes, the southeast region of Arkansas. And here again, you see where we reached a height. And this was driven, of course, by the prison outbreak in the southeast region of Arkansas. And now that they've recovered, you see that down and at a very low level. And we like where we are in the southeast region. And so the lesson of that, and go ahead to the next slide, which I'm not going to try to talk about because it's multicolored. So you see all of them combined now, all of the 5 different regions in their different graphs. And I'm going to ask in a moment Dr. Smith to come up and talk about this after he goes through the cases. But you can see that we have really in Arkansas 5 different epidemics that are in 5 different stages. And so you have 3 of the regions in which we like the direction. They've moved downward and the trend is well. And we have 2 regions, which is the Northwest region and the Southwest region, that we currently are fighting a challenge. And so I think it's a reminder and good information for everybody to know where you are in your region of the state, what you're facing, your challenges. And of course, I hope that if you're in a region that is doing very well, don't cause that to spike back up. And if you're in a region in which you're at a higher level, it should be an admonition for us all to work together, to pull together, to bring the cases back down and to stop the spread of that virus. And so that's a long explanation, but I think it is very, very helpful to go through those regions. And with that, Dr. Smith, if you would come and elaborate.
Thank you, Governor. I'm going to go over this slide in a little bit more detail, but first let me give the general numbers first. As the governor mentioned, we had 239 new cases. Two of them were in correctional facilities, so 237 were community cases. That brings our total to 6,777. Of those, we have 1,699 that are active cases, so that's an actual decrease from yesterday. 73% of those active cases are in nursing homes, 144 are in correctional facilities, and that's where we've actually seen the decrease in the major decrease in active cases. 1,482 active cases are in the community, which is actually an increase from yesterday. Of our new cases, we have had 25 new cases among healthcare workers, 12 among nursing home residents, and 15 among nursing home staff. We have, as the governor mentioned, a net increase of 9 hospitalized patients, so we're up to 113, which is the highest that we've been. We have 24 on a ventilator, that's a decrease of 3. We've had 7 deaths, and that brings our total to 132. The number recovered is 4,946, and that's an increase of 363 from yesterday. So in the last 24 hours, we've actually had more recover than new cases. I'd like to talk briefly about where we're seeing these new cases coming from in terms of counties. The top county for the last 24 hours has been Washington County with 53 cases. Benton is the second with 38. Our next highest county is Crittenden County with 21, Pulaski County with 15, and I'm sorry, Sevier County had 31, so they're actually the third highest. So as the governor mentioned, the increase in cases in the southwest region is really being driven by Sevier County, mostly in Dequeen. In terms of this, the testing, the only thing I'd like to say in addition to what the other governor has already said is that we have done, since the beginning of the epidemic, 121,302 tests. So we have tested 4% of our population so far. What I'd like to talk about on this graph is really the regional epidemics, plural. From this very busy, very colorful slide, I'll talk you through it. The red curve is our southeast region, and you see these two really big peaks with a valley between them, and those were driven largely by these cases in correctional facilities. We've had the Cummins unit, of course, and also the Randall-Williams unit, and they're back down to really fairly low levels compared to the rest of the state. Their number of new cases per day is actually the lowest. The second color I would like to pick out is orange, and that's Northwest region, and it remained fairly low compared to the other regions for most of the period of time. But then in the last week or two, we've seen a dramatic increase, and now they are far ahead of any other region in the state. And so this is where we really need to focus our attention. This is where we're seeing the majority of our new cases. The third one that I want to look at is Southwest, which is a kind of a gray color, which is difficult to see. It's been low as well, and then it's also coming up. And so that's the second region of the state where we are seeing an increase. Again, that's mostly in Sevier County, in Dequeen. And you can see, although it's also rising, the absolute numbers are much, much lower than Northwest region. And so they are still, I think, the second highest number of new cases, but not anything near to Northwest. The last two colors to go over is the yellow is central region. We had that initial increase, and then it's been pretty flat. And now we actually are seeing fewer new cases in central region than either either northwest, northeast, or south southwest. Even though the central region is one of the most populous regions of our state. And then the last one up there is the blue line, which is northeast, and that's been up there. It had a bit of a surge a week or so ago, and since then they've been trending down, and it's now the third region in terms of new cases, just behind Southwest. So when we see the state numbers, sometimes it can mask some of these regional differences. But this is important to us in terms of our messaging, in terms of our public health interventions, and in terms of understanding what we've accomplished and what we still have left to do. And that brings me to my last topic, what we have to do. I want to mention some of our important testing events. In addition to offering testing in our local health units, 79 local health units throughout the state, 5 days a week, we also have today a testing event from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. In Dardanelle. And our goal is to test at least 200 people there. Tomorrow, on Saturday, we have a number of testing events. We have one in Washington County in Fayetteville. We have one in West Memphis, one in Dequeen, and we also have one in Pine Bluff. And I'd like to point out the testing event in Pine Bluff is going to be at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. And although we have done extensive outreach to minority communities since the beginning of this epidemic, this is the first time that we've had a COVID-19 testing event offered at one of Arkansas's historically black colleges and universities. So this is a first for us. And so we're very grateful for our partnership with UAPB and hope that that's a very successful event. We're hoping that we will test, we'd like to test at least 500 at each of these events. Next, the Saturday afterwards, June 6th, we've got additional testing events planned in Jonesboro, Wrightsville, and El Dorado. So we will continue to keep testing, and that's that information from the testing that will help us identify these chains of transmission so that we can interrupt them and bring this COVID-19 epidemic or epidemics in Arkansas under control. And thank you. I'll turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And for those who are interested in camping, our state campgrounds will be open effective next Monday, June 1. And I've asked, as well as the bathhouses that go along with that, I've asked Secretary Hurst to talk about that.
Thank you, Governor. One thing that has been underscored for me as we've tried to navigate this public health emergency is that Arkansans deeply value their access to nature and the outdoors, and that might be true now more than ever. We are grateful to the public for their patience as we've had to limit access to our Arkansas state parks over the past 10 weeks. As the governor noted, we will reopen our campgrounds to tent camping starting Monday, June 1st. Also reopening will be the many bathhouses in the system that support campers and our day use visitors. With the responsibility to keep our facilities clean and safe for visitors and staff, limiting access has been a necessity. But now we have the PPE needed to protect our employees and a good system in place to feel confident that we can reopen these facilities in a safe manner. I'll note also that during this public health emergency, we've enjoyed a very close collaboration with our federal partners in Arkansas that manage land. And as a reminder to campers, the Corps of Engineers opened most of their campgrounds on May 20th. The Buffalo National River and Hot Springs National Park opened campgrounds today. And the Ouachita National Forest and Ozark National Forest are both working toward opening campgrounds in the very near future. This is good news for our many residents who love to partake of Arkansas's abundant natural beauty. You can stay abreast of these openings by going to arkansasready.com. And a reminder to our visitors to be safe, to keep an appropriate physical distance, and wear a mask as needed. Now is not the time to gather at the campfire, to congregate at trailheads. Our rangers and uniformed staff will be monitoring and reminding people of their responsibility to use our parks and natural areas wisely. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Stacy. And with that, we have to take any questions.
So I know we've had more testing, and that's related to the increase in cases, but given the fact that our hospitalizations also have gone up, that would seem to indicate we actually do have more cases, you know, not just that we're finding more, but there actually are more. And so I'm just wondering, do you have any idea of the reason they might be going up?
Well, we're finding more cases, and our hospitalizations are going up. To me, there's a natural correlation with that. But Dr. Smith, I'll let you elaborate on that.
Certainly. I think as you can see from the regional differences, you know, we've had some timing differences. We initially had really quite a few cases in the central part of the state and the southeast part of the state. Those are coming down, but now we're seeing a real upsurge in the western part of the state, particularly the northwest. And we have seen some characteristics of those new cases. One is that many of them are younger individuals. Actually, the age 65 or older have the least increase percentage-wise. So we're seeing younger individuals. We're seeing, as we've mentioned before, many more in the Latino community have tested positive than was previous. Of our active cases, 25% are Latino. And then we have also had some cases that, although they involve the community, there's been perhaps some acceleration with some workplaces, particularly those associated with the poultry industry. Again, these are much larger than just poultry, but since many of those in the community also are working in the poultry industry in those areas. So these are all factors that are contributing. I think this is partly a time sequence. Northwest was spared for the first couple of months of this epidemic for our state, but each of these regions is on their own timeline, and that I think is why we're seeing the upswing that we're seeing. Well, it's a both and. I mean, we are testing more because we're testing asymptomatic individuals now, and we're testing younger individuals. Remember, initially, our guidelines were to test primarily those age 65 and older, or those with underlying medical conditions, because our testing capacity was low across the country. Now we're testing more widely, and we're finding more cases. We're making those testing available to a wider number of individuals, but I think we are seeing a true increase in cases as well, as certainly as evidenced by our increased hospitalizations. Actually, the only region of the state where we are seeing an increase in hospitalizations is the Northwest region.
And I would just add that hospitalizations sometimes reflect the number of cases you have, but they also reflect the preconditions or the health condition of the patient. And so I think that deserves some more study, that if our hospitalization rate is going up now, does that mean that this population has more challenges and results in hospitalizations? Alexis.
Is this peak worse than the first one?
I think it depends on where this peak goes. I don't know that you could say that it is worse than the first one. We're learning as we go through this, and if you just simply look at the number of cases that we see at the peak, this one is as high as the first one. If it goes down from here, then I think it depends on how quickly it goes down and how far it goes down. So I think we just have to wait and see.
We have a pretty good idea of what's going on per region. I mean, obviously in the northwest part, you know, a lot of it's got to do with, you know, some of the poultry, but do we have the same grasp on the other regions of the state?
Well, I think so. Like I said, in the southwest region, which is the other challenging one, we know that this is Sevier County. We know the population. We're exploring that more. And so I think we do have a good handle on where that is, and that's what we do with our contact tracing. Northwest, where we have the growth area. By the way, we'll be going up there Monday for our daily update in Rogers. I'll be meeting with some of the leaders in both the minority community, but also other business leaders there and hospital administrators. And you learn a little bit of ground truth, but Dr. Smith is a data person, and we study the data and we do the contact tracing. And I think that gives us a good sense as to where each one of these epidemics are.
I guess how do we kind of explain sort of the roller coaster that has been the Southeast region?
Sure. In the Southeast region, of course, you had huge spikes whenever we had the outbreak within the prison population that is now recovered. And so that's high up and a quick down. And so we know exactly how that is. That's sort of easy to measure. In the community spread and the community cases that we have, that's obviously takes more work. But I think we have a good handle on most of that, too. Is there a, go ahead, Jay.
So in those charts, is the community spread reflected equally? You know, if you take sort of the prison populations out of that, I mean, are we still kind of seeing the same sort of patterns just within the community?
Really what we're seeing now is largely within the community. Really the only serious number of prison cases would be in Forest City. We still have a number there, but beyond that, it is by and large community cases that we're speaking of, and particularly the areas that we have challenged now, which is the Southwest and the Northwest, that's community cases.
Yes. Do we know what the percentage of asymptomatic positives is now from the data from the health clinics? And I mean, is that to account for some of the rise, or is it that there is sort of less public information in that part of the state to know what to do in terms of, because of language barriers or social barriers?
Of all of our cases, about half of them have reported no symptoms at the time they were tested, but of the individuals who tested positive in our local health units, 74% of them reported no symptoms. Now we will track them to see whether they do develop symptoms. We have our Sera Alert software and other ways of contacting people, but at the time of testing, 74% of them were not reporting symptoms.
Does that help account for some of the rise in Northwest?
Well, certainly, I think that probably accounts for increased number of cases throughout the state, because we are testing. Previously, we weren't testing people who had no symptoms, and now, at least in some cases, we are. But certainly many of those testing in the Northwest region don't have symptoms at the time they're tested, and that's our intention. We would like to catch people as early as possible so that we can interrupt the spread of COVID-19.
Let's go.
The Northwest
let's
have to do with, this is my, was the problem in Northwest have to do with maybe language barriers or lack of outreach or lack of knowledge about how to protect yourself?
That's something we're looking at. Obviously, we're increasing our testing there dramatically. We're also increasing our outreach to address those. We're going to be speaking to the Hispanic community to see if there's anything more that we can do. Let's go remotely to a question.
Governor Hutchinson, Jacqueline Froelich, KUAF Public Radio. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you. Cases, as you know, are spiking in Carroll County, part of the Northwest Arkansas Matrix, and I received a copy of an email from Mayor Butch Berry around noon, who was queried by a shopkeeper who's struggling with customers getting really angry about being asked to wear masks and the town is packed with visitors now, and locals are saying a majority are not wearing masks. So my question, the mayor says he can't issue a local order allowing shopkeepers, bars, restaurants, and B&Bs to require customers, patrons, visitors to wear masks because no such state order exists. And absent a home rule statute, the mayor is unable to create a local mask ordinance for business owners to enforce. So given the spread of this virus will persist possibly for years, is there a remedy for local jurisdictions, sir?
Are you speaking of Eureka Springs or Berryville?
I'm talking about Eureka Springs, tourist destinations sure. in particular.
Well, first of all, and for those who couldn't hear, the question relates to a shop owner that has a challenge in wanting customers to wear a mask as they enter the store and the reaction of the customers sometimes. So I would urge all patrons of our businesses to be understanding. The shopkeepers, the store owners, they want to take care of the customers, but they also want to be safe themselves. And so if restaurant, it is absolutely required, and if you don't have a mask, the restaurant owner can say that you're violating public health rules and can and should exclude you from coming in. So it's absolutely mandatory in terms of restaurants. In terms of other shops, the shop owner should have a great deal to say about their own premises if they properly post it that they require a mask. That should be within their discretion. I would be happy to visit with the mayor more as to how we can address this in a more effective fashion. The mayors have been very cooperative in terms of working with the state. If they have some unique challenges that they want to address, I would be happy to work with them. Is there another question remotely?
Yes, Governor, I have an economic question.
Good, go ahead.
We know that state lawmakers are reviewing budgets right now. We've been getting a number of questions with the end of the fiscal year looming at the end of June. Do you expect any budget cuts or staff reductions? And how will you do state employee reviews? And will state employees get their anticipated annual raises?
I haven't made an announcement yet on any merit or bonus increases for state employees. I will be doing that soon, but there's no announcement yet on that. In terms of the state budget itself, of course, we revised the state budget downward to reflect what we knew was going to be a downward trend in state revenues. But after we revised the budget, we have last month exceeded the revised budget. We beat the forecast in terms of revenue, and I expect that that will be the same for the month of May. And so I don't expect any further budget cuts beyond what is in our revised budget for the state. One more question remotely, and then we'll come back to the table if there's anything here.
Governor, it's Brett Ray. I have a quick question for you. The question is, with nearly 505 cases of fentanyl in Washington County, neighboring counties such as Crawford and Sebastian County, including Fort Smith, currently have about 12 active cases. They potentially be the next hot spots. Is that a foregone conclusion? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's a very good question, and nothing should be a foregone conclusion. And the question for everyone is for Crawford and Sebastian County, which has a very low case count right now, are they going to be in the next wave? And nothing is foregone in terms of what's going to happen. I believe that Crawford and Sebastian County has done a very good job, and hopefully they can maintain their discipline and that those cases will not go up there. But if you look across the state, you've seen every part of the state that has been impacted by it at one time or another. So. We're going to have to bottle what they're doing in Sebastian Crawford County if they can continue to avoid that uptick in cases. So all we can say is you need to be disciplined. We need to do everything we can. We need to be prepared and hope that that will be successful in keeping those cases down in that River Valley area. Yes, ma'am.
Governor, why do you think that the Central Arkansas region had its peak earlier and now it's
numbers look stable. What do you think that this region is doing that others might not be doing across the state?
Well, I think the questions are related, obviously, but first they had a different timeline, and the different timeline is because the first entry of cases came from the Mardi Gras into Pine Bluff and from Pine Bluff into Little Rock. And so that's how it sequenced early here in the state of Arkansas. I'll never forget it. March 11, first case, we declared a public emergency. And they have managed the central Arkansas area. The mayor has been very supportive of the social distancing requirements and setting the right example. The restaurants or the businesses have been very cooperative and disciplined, and so that's made a difference in the trend line. Mark Smith, you're good there?
In terms of the increase in younger people that you're seeing, do you think, is that a result of younger people not respecting the health guidelines, or is there some other way that they're getting that?
Well, partly is that, you know, they're asymptomatic, many of them, and so, you know, they might be positive, they might test positive, but they're asymptomatic, and so they go about life, and that's the risk that if they're not being careful, they can really spread it to others. And so obviously it's their youthfulness and they're healthy, and so they are not as careful perhaps. And that's one of the reasons that we've emphasized that this impacts all generations, and if it impacts the younger people, it impacts the older people through them as well. And we want them to get that message. I think they are, and I applaud those that are being so thoughtful about others' health as well.
Yes. Where are contact tracers finding that these people are going to more, for example, grocery stores, workplaces, et cetera?
Mark Smith, did you hear that?
Really, in terms of places that we can associate with cases, probably the largest ones are these workplaces where we've had clusters. And we've had, just with the one industry, the poultry industry, we've had over 400 cases associated with that. It's probably less about where people go and more about what they do when they're there. If people are in close proximity to other people and not wearing masks, breathing each other's air, that's a risk factor there. I think it's useful for us to take a look and see where we're seeing a lot of cases, and where you're seeing a lot of cases, the risk of acquiring COVID-19 is higher, but it's really ultimately more important what you do when you get there than actually where you go.
Is there one final question, Jay?
This might be more for Dr. Smith. President Trump just announcing that the U.S. is terminating its relationship with the World Health Organization. I don't know what you might think of that initially.
That's a little bit outside of my jurisdiction. I think the World Health Organization has done a lot of good things, and I would hope that we would eventually find a way to support those activities.
He's pretty smooth for...
All right.
That's Leslie, and then, go ahead. One question.
I just wondered what your response was to the ACLU and all the other groups that have written you today asking again for a moratorium on evictions.
It's the same response as I've given before. Is there one more question remotely? Has everybody got on the line there? Did you have something?
Yeah, I just wondered.
Yeah, so this is Cole with 4029.
Go ahead, Cole.
Thank you. With the spike in positive cases in Northwest Arkansas, are there any going to be any additional measures being taken to protect nursing homes or assisted living facilities in the area?
Well, the answer is statewide, we're going to have an initiative beginning next Monday, June 1, that we're going to test every nursing home resident and staff person. So that's a very comprehensive initiative within the nursing homes that will certainly apply to Northwest Arkansas, and they've done a great job, with the Health Association, They've done a wonderful job cooperating with the Department of Health and will continue to do so. Final question.
Andy was asking about the people under 40. Are the majority of those people that are testing positive under 40 already have underlying health conditions?
The underlying health conditions are not a risk factor for acquiring the infection. People who are healthier are just as likely to become infected. Where they come into play is the risk of having complications, ending up in the hospital or on a ventilator or dead. So we are very concerned about people with underlying medical conditions, but they're not necessarily at higher risk of getting infected. They're at much higher risk of getting very sick if they do get infected.
Thank y'all. Y'all have a great day, and unless the sky falls, we will not be here tomorrow. We'll be in Northwest Arkansas Monday and back here on Tuesday.